Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, I'm Emmeline Mondo and this is Mondo Moments. Life is made up of millions of tiny moments. I believe one of our tasks as humans is to be present for as many of them as possible. When you reflect on the unforgettable events or incredible memories in your life, zoom in and there will be these little moments before or after the event that sit in the heart space. The moment you knew things would never be the same again, the hour you felt the shift, the minute that saved your life or the second that changed it. These are the moments that build movements. Sometimes they are global and other times it's just the simple first step to change. Now, we are back with part two with Dr. Stephanie Kuku. If you haven't listened to part one, please stop what you're doing and go and have a listen. It's really lovely to get the full picture of Dr. Kuku's journey. We're picking up this week where we left off with the life-changing moment that led to Dr. Kuku deepening her personal practice and reflecting on her life. She shares valuable advice that she learned from a relationship coach, advice from colleagues and friends along the way, and so much more. Let's get stuck in. It's a goodie.
Yeah, I mean, do you know, I think 2018, there's always that year where your life truly changes. I was pretty sure that I needed to look after myself and the job had taken so much out of me. But also when I tried to look 10 years beyond, you know, I was sort of in my late 30s, I couldn't see a life. I couldn't see a life. And I don't mean I am a consultant surgeon at Oxford. Da, da, da. I don't mean I'm a partner at Goldman Sachs. I mean a life. I mean I'm a fulfilled, balanced person with a dog and a cat, and a partner who loves me, and a child. You know, I couldn't see a life. I felt like I would.
Yeah,
this job was going to consume me, and in many ways, I would have to sacrifice more, even more than I had sacrificed to reach where I'd reached. I had already it taken me quite a while to process the whole thing, And I'd already started thinking about leaving. And then I was in this relationship that was, in retrospect, it was never, and I wasn't at the time, I still wasn't sure because I still was trying to figure out who I was and what I wanted. I wasn't sure about the final settling down, but I know that that relationship was not right, but it was good for me in the sense that because I spent so much time, this is how it works. If you spend so much time looking at other people's deficiencies, projection of the deficiencies that you haven't corrected in yourself.
Yeah, that's a deep one.
So I think that when I finally got the courage, and I think this, the courage to leave, to change my life, because I clearly wasn't happy, came from two people in my life who are actually the two most spiritual people I know. Interestingly, it wasn't my cool friend until I back, like, why are you leaving? What are you? It wasn't the cool ones. It wasn't the ones who are sort of have the sort of rigid, it was the ones who have been through journeys, who've come out on the other side. My best friend, who's amazing, she's English and African, she's an artist, she's a hippie.
Yeah, I always hear about her. She sounds so fab.
Like, she's been telling me about meditation since we were like 30 years old. You know, 30, I was partying and working my ass off. Meditation didn't even, in fact, I think she gave me a course of TM, Transcendental Meditation classes for my 30th birthday. I don't think I ever used them. But as I'm coming into that sort of place of leaving, I started. Clearly, when I got to the place where I thought something has to change, I went back to the meditation because someone, she brought it up again. So I went to the course, but it wasn't until I had resigned and I had been to that dinner and I had done a lot of things that I thought, you know what, there's stuff you need to fix in yourself. And so I accepted that. I then, one of the things I thought was, I really want to kind of do more to discover who I am. So I read books. I did the morning pages, which, you know, my best friend sent me the book about why you should write. It's so funny to look back on the things you write.
Is it the was it with the Artist's Way morning pages or another one just about
how it helps? I can't remember what the book was, but it was, yeah, it was about why you should just get up and, you know, and write, even if you just, I don't know what to write. But sometimes it's manifestation. It's exactly, it's writing out, I will do this, I will do that.
Yeah.
Just and I did that for a while. But yes, I think that I needed to find an anchor, which was looking at things, you know, when you're really making a big change, what's the harm in trying things that you haven't really kind of probably delved in? That's the way I saw it. And in that, I found some peace. I felt so calm. It's a state of mind. It's a way, you know, even the woman in Sainsbury's who knows people will be like, oh, Stephanie, you seem so much calmer. What's happening? I'd be like,
yeah,
lots happening.
So wait, tell me, let's get a little deeper. When you were, you know, the morning pages, the searching in a way, did you know what you were looking for? When it's the sort of like find myself, was it an identity outside of medicine? Was it the self that could bring you to the life that you couldn't quite see? Was it a softer self? Like, are you able to identify what? Either what it was you were looking for or what it is within you that you knew you wanted to challenge or change?
This is such an interesting one. Yeah, I think I was looking for, it was like I had been something that I thought was expected of me. And I had done that. I hadn't found my whole self. And so I think I was looking for, to recenter myself so I can find other interests. I could find, you know, should really center myself in my next direction. But also I think I was just looking for calm and freedom. I was looking for freedom. I can't explain.
Yeah. Freedom in time, freedom in your mind, freedom in your body.
I was just wanted to be free. I just wanted to.
What is freedom?
Freedom is truly, truly, truly making choices of your own. You know, freedom is, some people think freedom is money. I think that freedom is making choices solely because in your soul, you alone feel that that's good for you. And that is going to take you to your best self, to your highest potential. You make those choices. But freedom is also autonomy. And it's the same thing, autonomy. And when I use autonomy, I say, you know, autonomy is feeling like you have control over your life, which a lot of doctors don't. Even now I speak to them, my cousins, my friends, younger sisters and brothers, or, you know, people who come to me for mentorship. And I don't say to all of them, I know things are stressful and it's been a horrid year, please leave medicine. No, I say, if you love this, it's sacrifice. You do it and you love it and you enjoy the journey. But don't think that the world is easier out there. Don't think that you can just find, you know, no, it's not, you know. And this will be the best job you ever do. It doesn't mean that you're not going to fulfill your potential in other ways or do interesting things, but it'll be the best job you ever do. But you know what? Not all of us want a job. We want to work for the first half of our life. And then as I was nearing 40, I thought, I now want to create a career that fulfills me, that is mine, and I can do in my own time and on my own terms and earn what I'm worth.
Yes. I mean, that right there is a beautiful co-creation of a life that can be so fulfilling. And I feel that you're really working towards that now. You do have a dog. I've seen on Insta.
A puppy. She's so cute. And a man.
So, and you're living with your partner. Yes, you're living with your partner,
and
right?
Working on the baby part of things. So
Wow, that's so wonderful.
Obviously, I wish I'd done it all of it earlier, but then if I don't all of it earlier, I wouldn't have been through the journey and I wouldn't have met the man of my dreams. And like, you know, everything happens as it should. I wish I could tell my younger self that.
Yeah, I love that. Let's jump into that because, look, a lot of people who have been single in this pandemic who are, say, like mid-30s are panicking, you know, like losing what feels like two very important years. And like you want, as you explored, like freedom, making your own choices. And then as you've described as well, you arrived at a point where you got the things that were right for you on your timeline. So I guess the advice is to trust your journey, but there is definitely that feeling that comes sort of like mid-30s.
God, yes, but I have to say, I was too busy looking for freedom. There was certain part of that looking for freedom. With that comes, and I've got this coach. I know we talked about my coach and she's amazing. Like everyone needs guidance. And she says, Stephanie, there's a part of you, you are the most driven, responsible person. You are completely, your life is centered around your sense of purpose and really understanding that and continue to evolve with that. But you have an avoidance of responsibility, which almost seems like a contradiction. But avoidance of responsibility was something for me that came with the fear that is really a projection of not really knowing who you are and what you want. So if you can either projects as avoidance of responsibility, or the fear just channels you to do what you think you should be doing and you make the wrong choices. I actually was more afraid of doing the wrong thing and being unhappy because that's what society expects of me. So I didn't go, 35, my ovaries. I was working, I mean, to be honest, delivering babies. I didn't know about obstetricians. It put me off. You know, I just thought, geez, no thanks. Oh, it's not for a long time.
Yeah.
It does happen, you know, I'm not pushing anything out. That kind of thinking. But I do think that.
Did you ever think of freezing eggs?
Freezing. Sorry to interrupt. By the way, I've read two really interesting articles because I invest in companies and I'm in sort of women's health innovation now. And the fertility space is so fascinating. I'm speaking to some girls now and looking at their company. But it's really what has come out of this pandemic actually is, of course, the women panicking and the egg freezing industry, which I'm sorry to say this is driven by men instilling fear, is balanced argument now of this whole why we created an industry to make money off women by selling hope and instilling fear. I didn't freeze my eggs because at the time, and even though, you know, like I would have doctors who would like show me the data and be like, but you should freeze your eggs. I had a really good friend whose wife had cancer. So she actually was the only person I knew who'd had a baby from frozen eggs. And I knew what the stats were. Mm. But at the time, I saw all, by the time I got to sort of, and this was like 35, when I was 35, that was 2015. It wasn't as huge in the States, it was. But by 37, when I was changed, I knew I was going to change my life. I wasn't single, but I wasn't in a relationship that was going to necessarily. That was going to lead me to having babies, but I didn't see it. I felt it was false reassurance because I would also see the other side, which was all these women going for IVF, mostly didn't have anything wrong with them, stress, the fear that is instilled in women. You know, look at most people who need IVF. They don't have any endometriosis or, yes, there's a good proportion of women who have problems or there's a male factor in fertility, but a lot of people who have IVF, they don't have any known problem. And that's because so much tension and fear and stress around the whole thing. Listen, I know what it's like, I'm going through it now. Yeah. It's kind of like you're suddenly aware that your body has to do something. So even if, and people say, oh, just relax. And it's not that easy. But so many of my friends who froze their eggs by the time they got to the stage where they were then super stressed, didn't get pregnant and needed IVF, they never used those frozen eggs. It was always, let's do a couple of cycles of IVF because, well, if we get some fresh eggs, we'll try, even if you're 40. So it was never sort of, let's go straight into the freezer and get those eggs.
Mm.
Good evidence that it is, that there is some chance of having a child with frozen eggs. It doesn't mean that you are definitely guaranteed to have a child with frozen eggs, But I think that there is also a big market drive. There is a lot of capitalism behind the egg freezing. And I think it's false. Looking back now, I was always someone who never wanted to settle down early and have kids early. But looking back now, I think I would say to women to do it earlier instead of freezing eggs was never going to reassure me. This is a long-winded way. Let me explain why I didn't freeze my eggs. I knew it was false reassurance. Yeah. It wasn't reassuring me. I knew that I had to do it and doing it as soon as I could with the right person. But because I had eggs in the freezer didn't mean that I was going to be less anxious that I may never have a child. And that's, I looked at the signs and that was. So I think it's a personal decision of how you assess risk. I used to say this to women as a gynecologist. Everyone assesses risks differently. The way I assessed it, it wasn't going to reassure me having eggs in the freezer. I needed that to know that I needed to make decisions and get on with it, as opposed to freeze my eggs and just chill out. No.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That is I feel like that's going to be very useful for a lot of people and an important insight. And I just am completely similar to you. I can't remember even as a young girl being like, oh, can't wait to I knew that I wanted a family, but it wasn't something I was longing for in my sort of young adult life. I was like, I want to travel. I want to party. I want to, and I do eventually want family, but I'm curious about these conversations. About this time. And this freezing eggs thing has come up a lot.
If you think that you are one of those, I have friends who they need that reassurance to pay that money, take hormones. I didn't want to take the hormones. I didn't want stimulated unnecessarily. In my opinion, I just didn't want to take a big dose of hormones to have eggs in the freezer, because those eggs in the freezer, even with the step, were not going to reassure me. But there are some people who are reassured that it gives them, so if that's you, then go and freeze your eggs. But it's not a choice that, you know, it's personal.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for that. I'm aware that it was coming up to an hour and I've got so many other questions I want to ask you. So the moment that you knew that your life was about to change or taking a new direction and the practice that followed it, I feel like you just said that's 2018, right? Is that your moment?
I think so. But you know what? Actually, I think that if you say the moment that I realized that I had to change and the practice that followed, but the moment that I knew deep down, no matter what your fears are, because change is scary, but God, nothing exciting happens without a big change. And the moment I knew was actually a breakup. At the end of 2017, and I was watching Stupid Hours in the Cancer Hospital in Chelsea, where, you know, opposite there. And there was something about that breakup, and it was a friend of mine. This is not my best friend, but the other friend of mine. She's actually a relationship coach, Naomi Cambridge. Look her up on Instagram. But she said something really interesting, and it was really around why I was with this person and why we then split up. She says, you know, Stephanie, God, it was amazing. Do you know why we judge others? Have you ever thought about why? There's a lot of judgment about this person, but do you know why we judge others? And I said, she said, I think we judge others because of three reasons. Because there's something we see in them that we don't like about ourselves. However much you don't want to see it, however different they are to you. Because there is something that you want to discuss deeply with them that you haven't had. So, you know, you have a fear of deep conversations or serious intimate conversations. And lastly, because they have a freedom you don't have that you want. And that was so important, because that really made me think about, I'll never forget this moment. And I remember where we were, you know, we were having dinner in a place in Mayfair. And when she said that to me, I went home, because I was already in that place thinking, how am I going to make my exit? How am I going to have the courage to change my life? But it just goes to show that the person we are, and this is why I have leadership coaching and life coaching, who we are is who we are. Who you are in a relationship is who you are in fulfilling your potential, is who you are in fulfilling your career goals, and who you are in fulfilling your financial goals. You are one person. You're just different forms in those.
Yeah.
I think that everything she said was sort of pointing to the fact that you can't have deep conversations. The first deep conversation you need to have is with yourself. What do you want? Who are you?
Yeah.
You see things in yourself they don't like. Yeah, maybe it's avoidance of responsibility that we
have. Yeah.
And you have a freedom you don't have. You want freedom. You want the freedom to curate your life and have autonomy as much as you can. We're not all gonna have all the freedom, but to curate your own life as much as you can. It's hard to do that when you have a mortgage and three kids. And I'm sitting here, I have to be very practical, that I know that that's not easy for everyone. But
yeah,
it's something that I live by anyway. And until I'm sort of, I have zero freedom, you know, the child, the dog, you know, all the responsibilities, I will try and live by it as best as I can.
Wow. I mean, that breakdown of judgment of why we judge is so accurate. It was actually quite moving, because you know it as soon as you hear those 3 points and you really get honest with yourself, it's like, oh, right, yeah.
But those, you know, those 3 things in judgment, that sort of, they then led me to then, as you say, the shift was, how do I have deeper conversations with myself? I meditate, I find my calm. How do I sort out the avoidance of responsibility? I sort my shit out. How do I find my freedom? I resign from the job that is making me unhappy and find my way, even if I'm scared and afraid. Mm-hmm. That was the shift. That was a big shift. I mean, there were many for me, but that was one.
Wow. And then I guess remembering that as you move forward. On this avoidance of responsibility, I was listening recently to, it was Brené Brown's podcast, and she was speaking to, I can't remember the doctor's name, but just briefly, because it's so in line with what you said. And when she broke it down like this, I took a moment just to reflect on it. She said, a lot of people avoid responsibility. And the way you should think of it is this: when you enter a car, if you sit in the back seat, you don't have any responsibility, but you're sitting back and the driver is taking you where they want to go. And if you sit in the driving seat, you have the responsibility, but you don't have the freedom of sitting in the back seat and saying, oh, I don't have any responsibility. The thing about that back seat, though, is that it's a false sense of freedom. So you think you're free because you don't have the responsibility, but actually you also don't know where you're going. So, oh, it's Dr. Edith Eger, she interviewed. And she said, the question is, what seat do you want? You know, what seat do you want in your life? And I just thought, as someone who can relate deeply with the avoidance of responsibility, you think it's all great in the back, I've got nothing to, but you are then not driving that car. And so it's a risk that you've got to take, you know?
All I think when I look on Instagram is, God, there's so many of these women just got their shit together way before me. It doesn't matter. You know, it's like, it doesn't matter when you get there, because so many of those women still haven't had my experiences. And you don't. It's not about getting your shit together, excuse my language. And also, you can't tell if people are where they want to be. That perception, you know, it's like Toronto, like 2012, I went to this big surgical conference for young doctors, and I was chosen to represent like Britain, and it was really cool. And all these doctors were talking, they asked, well, what is success? And, you know, like the Italian woman with like 4 kids, surgeon, cancer surgeon, PhD professor, she's like, success is just being a person. You know, the way she reeled off stuff on her PowerPoint is like, basically, I took that as success means being perfect. I'm like, No, you're not my role model. And this surgeon came on, and he was like, success is knowing you've done everything to be the best you can be. And he said, I do that by making friends of all ages from all walks of life, because I need that constant inspiration. Sweet. I mean, God, this was almost 10 years ago, and I remember it.
So
I didn't go on Instagram and think, why didn't I do all the things that I want to do before I got, why did it take me to get to 37 to have that big shift? I think I have had a wonderful, I'd done so much before, and then I was at a mature stage, then shift and potentially do more. And most importantly, everyone has their own journey. But, you know, I listened to you yesterday briefly on Instagram live, and I can't, you know, this whole, she said something about, well, they're talking about, you know, stay in your lane, stay in your lane. But, you know, some of us don't want to be in one lane. And that's exactly what I'm like. That's exactly yes. what, and people are like, what do you do? I'm like, I advise companies, I invest in companies, I do research, I'm writing a book, you know, I all these things. Like, you just some of us are just sort of birds. We fly everywhere.
You know, to be in the fullness of yourself, I think always as a woman, there's always a lot, there's always more than one thing yeah. going on, you know, as humans. But I do think it's something about, you know, the way we're even made up. We're just bouncing between so many different things. We're listening with our friendship groups, you know, we're carers, we're lovers, we're, it's many yeah. things.
Yes, you know, I try and help women when they connect and say, can you help me? You know, it's mostly community. And I think, like us, we met at a random dinner, Yomi, we have to shout out Yomi Abiola, who's
Oh, absolutely. Well, Yomi is, I reached out to her when I was like, it's International Women's Day and I want to gather just incredible, like, fabulous women who were soul-led, also brilliant, but just like, I wanted to be moved. And she was, yeah, she had the twins on the way.
It was a really great day. I remember getting out of the, watching her get out of a taxi, and like she had twins and she couldn't, like, and I walked into that dinner laughing at her, and she's like, Stephanie, I cannot believe you're laughing at me because I was pregnant, like, I couldn't like lift myself out of the car. It was such a wonderful day, and it was such a our meeting in that International Women's Day dinner in 2018 just beautifully coincided with this sort of shift that I had was making, but it was like the final nail, because it was just kind of like I sat at that dinner with all these amazing women, and I thought, and they were researchers and scientists and lawyers and filmmakers and singers and yeah, models, musicians. And I was just like, yeah, you know, you can't live one life, multiple lives,
yeah,
multiple futures. That's, you know, one of my coaches said to me, multiple futures, Stephanie, we live, we peak, and then we die. So the key to life, before you peak, jump onto another curve and live another life.
Oh!
And I wish I had a pen I could draw. I love drawing and writing notes. And it's sort of the curve, you think of the peak of the curve, but before you do, before you start declining, you just go on another curve. So you kind of go up again and then you go up again. Yeah. It's wonderful.
Before we go, I just thought that there might be a young aspiring doctor listening, or a young woman who loves science, and I wondered if you had any words, because I know that, as you've expressed, that you do help young women when you can, and you're like, you know, very responsive on LinkedIn if people reach out to you and want advice. Any tips for any younger women who are at the beginning of their career?
If you're doing medicine, it's been a tough year. Stick with it. The journey is make the journey your own. The system is hard, but do it for as long as it feels you and you're passionate. Find something that really interests you and stick with it. Because I'm doing all these amazing things at the moment, but it would be the best. Medicine will always be the best thing I've ever done. And I wouldn't be doing all the amazing things I'm doing now if I didn't do what I did for as long as I did. So, you know, hone your craft and be an expert, and then you can do other things as well. To women in science, STEM, tech, engineering, the future is STEM, the future is science, the future is tech. I was reading I've just done a post about it today, actually, the World Economic Forum Gender Gap Report, and it says that if you look at the jobs of the future, the pandemic has changed things, but things were changing before. If you look at the jobs of the future, AI, data, automation, there are not enough women. Like, women are still really underrepresented. Those are the jobs of the future. And I see it happening, women doing the most extraordinary things in building the new world, And so it's super exciting. Find mentors, find communities, reach out to people randomly, because that's what we did. And I'm still doing it till today, reaching out to people randomly, and it's been great opportunities. I think it's a very exciting time for women. I know people say, oh, the pandemic has pulled us back 100 years. Yes. So get help where you can.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. This has been so glorious. I can speak to you for hours, and I could so easily. It's so hard doing these because I just don't want to stop at an hour.
Thank you so much for tuning in to part two and joining me on this beautiful journey with Dr. Cuckoo. Now, there's one bit that we didn't cover, or one area. It's pretty big, and it's also very important. And that is the rate in which Black women are dying in childbirth in the UK and the US. We have decided that we might do this in a live or as a bonus episode. So please let me know what you would like. There are so many statistics and information that we can look over and speak to Dr. Cuckoo about. So DM me. Drop me a tweet, an email. I'd love to hear from you about what might serve you the most. And finally, you know the drill. If you have enjoyed this episode, please remember to like, subscribe, and share. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.